Vardian, get in. Close the door.
Sure. Hey, Dylan. You've been busy up here.
Yeah, this is what work looks like. I've been trying to figure out a solution on the monster ecology problem. I need a couple of sigils in the right spots.
Dylan, are you sure about this?
I wasn't entirely convinced magic existed until last week, Aram. I'm not certain about anything.
I assume this is one of those things you weren't quite sure about?
I mean, I could probably get better materials for this if we had more funding.
Well, for $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they are released. For $5, you'll get those ad-free episodes early, along with audio DM notes featuring Dylan and I recapping what went into producing each one.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DM's notes, along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels also get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we've got left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 Patreon tiers are available with 7-day trials for new subscribers, so head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want a free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster. My name is Dylan. My pronouns are he, they, and I'm the co-founder of Dead Ghost Productions and a physicist from Canada.
My name is Austin. My pronouns are he, they, she. I'm an award-winning game designer, writer, performer, and friend. I am not from Canada.
Welcome to kill every monster.
I don't know your candor. What is this pausing?
I don't know.
Is this Shakespearean? What are we?
Iambic pentameter.
Legitimately? I just cloned Aram's rhythm.
Because
that's what I do every time, right?
You know what? Well, that's fine. I think it's funnier that it didn't. I don't go here.
We're trying our best, okay?
Do you two do that live every time? Do you not just have an edited version that's...
No, we just do that live every time because Aram is autistic and is not capable of doing it differently every time. And I'm a bassist, so I have decent rhythm. So once I heard it like 2 or 3 times, I can just match him. He does it at the exact same tempo every single time. And I just know it by now. And that's why I get angry at him every time he changes. Every once in a while, he'll just have an odd day and I get furious. In this episode, we're featuring the drow.
I'm professional. The Monster Manual describes drow as the malevolent kin of elvenkind, also found leadership in the only elven deity who had not forsaken them.
We are joined by Liv. Liv, or Liv in a Day, uses she-they pronouns and has been an AP performer since 2018. She loves utilizing TTRPGs to tell joyous and victorious stories about heroes with marginalized identities. And absolutely roasting their dearest friends. Liv.
That's very true.
Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi. I feel like I just got walked on like wrestling or something. I was getting so hyped.
That's the whole
point. Walked on, doing my big entrance.
Hey, depending on the type of wrestling, it could be both.
It's so funny how it feels different. You wrote that 2 minutes ago, and then I said it out loud, and you're, oh.
Wow. Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, well, I do love doing those things. Thank you so much for noticing.
We're going to jump into one of the most loaded episodes we've done. Liv, what are the drow?
Definitely perfectly written the very first time. Nothing we need to adapt to change or reconcile.
No comments, no notes.
No notes. So to me, the drow are, there are people that were displaced and then said, you know what? Fine, we're going to commit to the bit. If that's who you think we are, that's who we are. And I kind of love that. I love the opposition and the acceptance and the defiance. Like, accepting yourself in defiance of others, I think is pretty rad.
For the benefit of the hypothetical listener who fundamentally is not familiar, can you give like a, I don't know what the fuck drow?
No. I was like, let me get into the philosophical. Let's all like lean back.
The philosophical is the good bit, but we got to cover our asses.
That's fair. So the drow are beautiful, dark skinned, usually like literally dark as in like pigment as in black or purple or something like that. Elves that are perceived to be evil, bad. They live underground, which we'll get to in a second because already I'm getting mad. They live underground and they are not good, not nice as perceived by standard classic D&D. They're cultists. They are they are matriarchy.
Which is the most evil thing you could be.
The most evil thing you could be.
Respecting, even admiring women?
Yeah.
Women in charge?
Worshipping a woman? Oh, and also, she's a woman spider? Like, no, first you're a woman. But...
Never mind. Change my mind. Yeah. On board.
I know, right? She's so good. Love is so great. What a great, what a woman.
How dare she stand up and be like, actually, my pronouns are she, her, and I think this is bullshit.
This is one of the things that, Austin, you and I talked a little bit about ahead of the recording. They have flip-flopped so many times in the lore, trying to decide if we're going to leave room for Lolth to potentially have been in the right, or is Lolth is definitely evil and the drow are completely, like, they're the good guys, but they got lumped in with a bad guy. Or sometimes both of them are evil, or sometimes both of them are good, and we just haven't decided completely yet. We're gonna make that noise a lot today.
In the original Monster Manual, Lolth, bad, no good, evil. Drow, no good, bad, evil. That's original 5th edition. And then when you get to Mordenkainen's Tome of Foes, where they have like all the elf lore, it's like, first there is Corillian, or however you say the fucking name, and like it's like this non-binary god that can be like a flock of birds or a ball of light or whatever they want, you know? And then one day they just sort of like pooped out other deities. Like they just did it. And they get names, and one of them is Lolth. And Lolth is the first one who stands up and is like, actually, my name is Lolth. I have a name. My pronouns are she, her. I don't want to be a formless ball of light anymore. And I don't want to just like sit here in paradise for eternity. I think we should like go do something else. Lolth's side, who see Lolth as the mother of all elves. And then there's the other guy's side, which see him as like the father of all elves. And Lolth has the audacity to essentially stand up and be like, this is one, boring, and two, doesn't make any sense to me that we just sit in paradise. And that's like what we're going to do for eternity? Question mark. She stabs them at some point, and then their blood creates the other elves. And then as like a punishment, elf god makes elves have a mortal body and leaves forever. And Lolth and her followers are cast into the Underdark because she stabbed them, I think.
It's an absolute mess, because there are also versions where Lolth is trying to specifically not just go do her own thing, but overthrow Corallon,
yeah,
which is just how I always pronounced it. I don't know what's right. Elves in D&D have always, to me, been roughly analogous to the French, in that they're pompous, nobody really likes them, and also they'll get mad at you even if you pronounce it right, so there's no value to trying.
Very true, very true.
To our French listeners, I'm just making fun of you. I still love you.
Hey, the French one or two listeners, of you. I don't care. I don't go here. You, what are you gonna do to me, huh?
French listeners, nothing. I'm one of you. Je m'appelle Liv.
Also, that one Quebecoise. Hey, how you doing? they teamed up with like Grumsh, and it was like the drow and the orcs rebelled against the beautiful, pretty high elf god, who is a being of light and whiteness, but not like that. But it's just a mess because there's never any clear causality to it. It's just one of those sort of weird creation myths that we are meant to take at face value. But then we're also given a race of people whose entire existence is coded to just, this is a god who actually exists and is the motivating force in your society. You obey Lolth. And we don't know what she fucking wants.
It's bizarre for a situation or for a piece of lore to be presented as unclear, but also we cannot apply any nuance to it. It's going to be so confusing, but what we walk away from it with needs to be black or white.
It's this thing that's frustrating because it's definitely like you see them, because in newer books, right, they've been like, oh, well, like Lolth is evil, but the drow have just been like tricked. And it's like, well, tricked how? Why? For who? Because of what? It's like they're trying to create nuance and be like, well, no, we're not saying a matriarchal society is bad. We're saying Lolth is just happened to be one bad lady, but
not all women.
Not all dark-skinned women are bad.
However, the one time there was one.
Everyone we've ever written about, absolutely bad.
Yeah. But there's got to be a good one somewhere. We just...
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. Have you checked Rashomon?
I think it's the player's handbook where you can pick drow. It's like, you could be one of the good ones, like Drizzt.
Nothing like telling somebody we have specifically a dark-skinned version of another existing race, and the only good one is the one that's completely abandoned and forsaken his own culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, drow and black people.
Yeah, what about them?
I just, you know, it's...
I mean, Austin, from one black person to another, what... I don't see the problem. This is an audio medium. If you didn't check the photos...
We're both black. There's a reason we're here.
Yeah. Just verbally stating it right now. Presenting our cards at the door. Thank you.
I can say ninja on Twitch. Can you?
Austin.
How do you feel about drow as a black person?
Oh, God.
I know.
Drow really confused me, and I have very complex feelings about them because I've never played a drow, or have I ever been with... Like, they fascinated me, and I've wanted to. Let me just put that out there. But I've never done it yet. And I have never been in a game with a drow played by another black person. The only drow I ever play with, or anytime I've ever played with a drow, there we go, it's always been a white person behind that player. And I think maybe that's part of the reason why I'm like, maybe I just haven't been at the right table. Maybe I just haven't been at the right situation. And I'm not necessarily sitting here and saying that like drow are off the table and nobody else can play them. Like, that is obviously not the case because drow are not black people. Like, they're not. They're simply not. So they're, in my opinion, they're available for everybody to play. But as a black person, it's one of those things where I'm like, looking at the table. However, I'm doing the math calculations in my head and I'm like, why is it always, this is a situation that I find myself in. But hey, that might be a personal thing. And maybe that has something to do with my tables.
Speaking just from a queer perspective, you see a lot in white people and white queers especially, where there's a certain degree of just wearing marginalization.
Mm-hmm.
Like just adopting that costume.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it is for a reasonable reason. Sometimes it's not like, it's not malicious, but there is a weird thing where it's like, I've been made to feel other in my day-to-day life. And so now I come to this RPG space. I'm going to pick one of the species that is most marginalized. But if you're not paying attention to your intersections, right?
Yeah. Like, alternatively, I love playing tieflings and we all know the jokes about bisexuals and tieflings.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Yeah.
We love a tiefling. And again, I'm not sitting here and saying anybody should not be allowed to play out their experiences in the real world. And if you marginalized is marginalized and we should all have that space. But it is just one of those things. I'm like, interesting. But as a Black person, it's complicated because I do think that there's a lot of allegories and analogies that are just so easily baked into Drow. And I do think that they are a character and or not a character, but like they have the lore of marginalization that I think would be so well explored if just given a little bit of more respect. And that's just the best way I can describe it is when we sit here and we can make all the jokes we want about the background lore. But what that tells me is like somebody just didn't think about this enough. Somebody didn't put enough care and consideration into it. They're great. They're interesting. They're fascinating. But if you peer behind, they're a Monet. They're amazing far, far away. But the second you start looking a little bit closer, it's a mess.
I just sent some art in there behind the, and like our behind the scenes chat in the Discord.
Yeah.
When I was researching for this.
These are Black facial features.
Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of the monster manuals, because of how the art is done, a lot of the times the blackness of the drow is like full ink, jet black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's something when you're interacting with old RPG players who want to defend, you know, the game that they've been playing since the 70s. Oh, they're not black people. They're literally like jet black. That it's not like black people. But in the early editions, if they were printed in full color, if they were on the cover of the thing, they were fucking black people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that move to making them specifically purple, white hair, you know, jet black, that was a response to the recognition
that
the problem
people
they had created. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The elves are the whitest thing in D&D.
So true. Yeah.
And all the thought that went into them was, we need to make these elves evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make them darker.
Yeah.
Even when you look at the drow culture, like, yes, it is matriarchal, but it's still so like Eurocentric. Nobles, same sort of caste system, same sort of like the mages are just fucking mages.
I think the other thing too, when you talk about like marginalization and playing a drow, it's so hard because it's like, well, to get the full effect, you have to like play in like canonical D&D, which a lot of species we play in like don't do, right? Like it's like you're a drow and everyone's evil, and also you're like slavers for some reason. It's hard because it's like the ways I see it reflecting Black culture, like all of these like stereotypes and things. I'm like, I don't necessarily want to play in, but like anytime I play an elven character, I always say they're a drow.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that it's something that like tables I play in just like don't want to like bring up. Like it's like part of the story that doesn't really like matter so much, you know? Or it's asked if I worship like the good drow, like there's the good drow god, right? Like the other lady.
You one of the good ones?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically.
It's like half an inch left of going like, so does your drow have a gun?
Yeah. Right? So where did your drow go to school?
One of the drow monsters is a drow gunslinger.
That's...
I have no jokes to make.
You know what? That kind of goes, that swings so hard in one direction, it circles back around and I'm fucking down. I'm down. Imagine riding a purple worm through the hood, just doing a drive-by.
These are my streets. This is my Underdark.
What you know about these tunnels? What you know?
Drower also is one of those, I was, you know me. I research loser.
You do what? You have a very successful podcast? That's so crazy.
I don't respect research at all.
I was going through and I was like, what other like canonical races that you can play in this game have monster entries? And at least from what I can find, it's Duergar. They're the only other ones, the other Underdark people.
Yeah.
And drow still have more. Drow have like 20 some different variations of here are bad guys for you to fight. They have like built a whole society of NPCs for you to beat up for drow. Everyone else, it's like, oh yeah, you can make a dragonborn be like a champion, or you can make a elf be a gladiator if you want. It doesn't matter. They can be any race. But there are specifically like drow mage, drow Matron Mother, why does this need stats?
Whenever I'm playing a character, they are portrayed as Black or Latina, which are the two races that I am. Well, and a bunch of other shit, but hey, that's history, right? but those are like, those are my two cultures. And I was thinking about it and I was like, yeah, I mean, I've played lots of elves where I'm like, and my elf has Black features or, you know, or my elf, I mm-hmm. describe the way my character looks. But I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about it and I'm like, yeah, no, if you're not playing like canon D&D, like the D&D setting, what is the fucking point of playing a drow?
Spells.
Yeah, it's just...
You wanted to cast Fairy Fire.
Yeah, I could burn it! No.
It's like an important to say it thing because there is no reason. Yeah. The drower only exists in canon D&D because they wanted an evil one.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're like, there's an evil one who followed this lady who got all uppity and they're evil. And that's it. And that's like the hard thing I think they have of like trying to do anything else with them because they're baked in as like, these are the bad guy elves so people can fight elves. And that's it. And they're creating more nuance for them makes so much work that I'm like, they would have to put out a different book that's just like, here's the drow story unfucked up.
Mm-hmm. Tales from the Underdark.
They've written themselves into a really unfortunate corner. D&D is not meant to be influenced by real geography. Like, mm-hmm. there is meant to be an elf nation and a dwarf nation and a halfling nation and a human nation. And there is supposed to be the drow, who are different and separate from the good elves that you're supposed to be allowed to fight. You can't parse the elves into the good ones and the bad ones. They're supposed to be a culture. They can't be a monolith. But because you built an entire game where the only thing that exists are a series of monoliths, you had to erect a new monolith, paint it black for reasons that super weren't racist. It was just an accident. Yeah. And then tell us we were allowed to shoot that one. It's one of the fundamental problems in the way that world building in D&D gets done. You don't get to make any arguments based on science in D&D because science doesn't exist. If you can cast fireball, conservation of energy doesn't mean anything, which means all of science is fake. But the fundamental underlying premise of fiction needs to be it's coherent. It doesn't have to make sense scientifically. We don't have to explain how melanin works.
Mm-hmm.
But every creature that lives underground doesn't really have eyes, has no fucking pigment because nothing can see it. That's just how underground shit works.
It makes no fucking sense that they have dark skin. It makes no sense. I'm sorry for swearing. Let me have my one. It makes no fucking goddamn fucking sense that these people have fucking dark skin. You telling me these people have lived in a hole for hundreds of years, cannot physically see the sunlight without being blinded, and they have melanated skin? You tell me how that makes sense. You tell me. That shit pissed me off, and I don't give a fuck that it's a fantasy world.
Oh, it's just a fantasy setting. Well, if it's a fantasy setting, it should make fucking sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't have to make evolutionary sense, but when I look at it, I should look at a drow and go like, yeah, that's an underground thing.
Liv, are drow monsters?
I don't think drow are monsters. That's my hot take. By hot take, I mean lukewarm, cold, ice, straight out of the freezer.
I think it's weird to have stat blocks for anything outside of a named NPC that's a bad guy. That is like a person that could be also in your party. If they want to make a drow bad guy that's like an evil wizard, sure, whatever. I don't care.
It's going to be functionally the same as any other wizard. You just need the archetypes in the back of the book. And then, like I said, you slap the racial modifiers onto them. That's done. Even D&D knows that drow aren't really monsters because their entry in the monster manual is elves colon drow.
I mean, I'm just also going to speak as something as a cryptid connoisseur. There are certain people that would see drow and be like, that doesn't count. That doesn't count for our types of interests.
No, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, that's just like a guy.
Yeah.
Why does Tom from the PTA board have an NPC stat block for me to beat him up?
Because Tom's an asshole and isn't going to let us fund the library. That's why.
Right? It's like weird for it to be like, here is how all drow are when you want to fight them. And you're like, what?
There's a quarter stat block. It's a drow. There's a CR5 drow warrior. The priestess of Volth is 8, and the drow mage is challenge 7. These aren't monsters that are built to, like, coexist even. When you go into the kobold stat block, there's, like, a challenge half. I think there's a challenge quarter, and I think there's the one with the wings is challenge 1. Those are clearly all meant to be in, like, a first to second level dungeon. The mage and the priestess and arguably even the elite warrior shouldn't be around regular drow. They're one-off monsters. You don't have an adventuring party of drow that you could run into. They're not statted such that you could actually come across them believably as people. They are specifically built in a way where you pull the unique single drow, put them in the room with a sign on the door that says, hey.
Right, because like drow are evil, they're bad, matriarchy, they follow a girl boss, how dare they. Right, and then they're like, well, some drow are good, and they follow Illustre, who is like, one, she's a goddess who like curtails to the whims of other gods.
Isn't she also Lolth's kid in some iteration?
Yeah, she's her kid.
Damn, so y'all following somebody who doesn't have their family? Y'all following the ops? A traitor? That's crazy.
She listens to the other gods, she's nice, and she's like...
Well, I don't really see myself as a drow. Astral. Yes!
To me, it's like she's like safe.
Yeah.
She's safe because she has all of the like... things that people like, which is, you know, they get that Underdark fever and
stop. They wanna-
Alistair's depiction. What's the wardrobe?
She's always naked.
Every time. She's the goddess of freedom, and she represents the drow who want to get out back to the surface, and also she's a hot naked lady, so it's okay.
Any other situation, I'm on her side. Any situation, I'm on her side. But I know that she leaves the Underdark and she starts talking shit about the hood. Like, I just know.
She talks proper.
Stop.
She went to school.
Oh my God, your comment is so good.
Thanks.
You know, I speak Sylvan, actually. I speak...
Do you speak Underdark? No, you know, it's so dirty.
Yeah, it's just so dark down there.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, exactly. She's like a moon deity, and it's just like...
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be Selune so bad.
Liv, how would you change the drow in the 5th edition Monster Manual?
I'm giving them all pale skin. But not just like pale skin. Like we're going to come, like if we're doing the, they have tan to dark brown skin with like features that are black. We are going the full opposite direction and I want them to be like translucent pale to bioluminescence. I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be cool. I want to give the D&D aesthetic folks their fun. Bioluminescent elves. Let's go.
If you make them translucent and you can see the blood in their veins when they approach, that looks like a vampire. That actually physically resembles what you assume to be a monster now.
We just need... If not a refresh, but like a new direction with the lore. We need Lolth on her redemption tour. I need a narrative where Lolth comes out and is actually like, so you know what? Let's talk about some things and how I was right, number one.
Player's Handbook, Lolth's version.
Yes! Yes!
Aram, what's going on? Why is all of our stuff in boxes?
Good news, Dylan! Dead Ghost Productions is moving.
What do you mean, moving?
We're separating our patrons and launching a new Dead Ghost page to provide our listeners with more content and a clean RSS feed for all their podcasts. Stacy is helping us out with the heavy stuff.
She's a bit clumsy.
Okay. So that makes sense. sort of. What about the people who have already subscribed?
I've got it handled. Everyone who is currently subscribed to our Dead Ghost Productions level or our combined feeds level will get a free month once we split the feeds on June 1st. If you're signed up for a yearly subscription, you'll get just as many free months on our new Dead Ghost feed as you currently have left on that subscription.
Okay, so what do people have to do in order to make the switch?
It's easy. Everyone will get a link to activate their free subscription sent directly to their email. They just need to follow that link to the new Dead Ghost patron and they'll be all set. The changes won't start until June 1st, and if anyone has questions about it, they can email us at killeverymonster@gmail.com or deadghostproductions@gmail.com. They can also message us directly in Patreon.
Okay. This better not interfere with my experiments, Vardian.
Don't worry, Dylan. I've told Stacy to stay clear of your laboratory. How do we safely power down the nuclear generator again?
Aram, what was that?
Good news. I found a dragon.
No, you didn't. Dragons aren't real, Aram.
Oh, they are quite real, Dylan. And very clumsy.
All right, I'll play. Why did you bring a dragon here?
What better way to promote Kill Every Monster than with an actual dragon? We may need to pump up the Patreon just a little.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
There is debate to be had amongst the various scholars of the world whether the Underdark is another plane of existence or simply down. It's legitimately unclear. There are some tunnels that connect up the way they ought to, and there are some times where it just doesn't feel like the spatial dimensions are aligned, where you dig down and you know you should be falling into some sort of chasm where a city is, and it just isn't there. Despite this, tremors in the earth come from down. About 4 or 5 days ago, the tremors finally intensified enough that at the lower levels of the city, you could feel them coming from above. The matriarch started to get concerned that something out of the ordinary was happening. So I want to know who it was in each of your cases, doesn't have to be the same, that told you to find out what in the fuck is going on and why you specifically are qualified to address this issue.
I believe that it was, not believe, it was, I know it is, my, like, commanding leader. Like, I'm a part of some sort of force, essentially, military force down here, guards. And so I've been sent on a mission. I fucked up the last time, and now I have to do the grunt work. So I have to go investigate and figure out what all this is.
Is this a chance to redeem yourself, or is this a punishment for having fucked up?
I think it's a punishment.
Shaking over there. Fucking send her.
Just go.
We'll talk in a couple days, hopefully.
If I can make it back.
Austin, how about you?
It was my mom. My mom told me to go.
Based on what qualification? Was this legitimately, like, came into your room and was like, hey?
I do a lot of... Is it called spelunking when you already live underground?
Spelunking just means exploring caves. I don't think going into the cave is necessary a prerequisite.
I think I already do a lot of exploring and spelunking and whatnot. And so it's like, I think it was like an ask of, like, you know, you're just home. Do you want to go, like, see what that was about?
All right. This was sort of an enlisted, like, we are going to send someone out to investigate this. We need to make sure she doesn't get lost. We know you have this thing you do. Can you please act as the scout to bring our investigator to the site where everything seems to be going off?
That works.
Which is so unfounded, because I'm perfectly fine and capable. I've never messed up in my damn life.
We all read the newspaper.
It was news?
They got a dwarf in to fix the printing presses to print this. So here's what I want to do. I want three rolls. You can split them up between yourselves however you like, but I want you to make me three checks telling me how you navigate this, and that's basically going to help me decide how much I fuck you over at the start of the fight.
I don't know why it's being said like that, but okay.
Because I like to be up front with people I respect, which is why I don't tell Aram what I'm doing.
I'm gonna roll wisdom, because I think that some of this area, patrol, exploring, doing other jobs and tasks, it's muscle memory. It's instinctual at this point. I got a 10.
Plus anything?
Oh no, it was a 9 plus 1.
You go in relying largely on muscle memory. You're doing kind of a rote patrol. Something's weird. We're getting, like, earthquakes, except the earthquakes are coming from the ground that's above us instead of, you know, where the most ground is. You're investigating weird, and you're trying to follow your rote habits, and it's just getting you very little. You're checking in on sort of the usual places, trying to make sure nothing's out of place. You know, you have a small system set up. There's a little cave that's known to have a couple of grells just nesting in there, and every once in a while, one of them will try to come out. And the thing about snakes with beaks is you should kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Just on site. So you're checking there, and Austin, I think you're the one slowly cluing in, like, that's not going to make an earthquake. Why are we investigating? We have a job.
Hey, well, I didn't get your name.
Sabre.
Sabre. What do you think you're doing right now?
I am checking all of the usual spots. We are doing a routine patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we're looking for something abnormal doesn't mean you don't check the normal spots.
I think we should go down this rock wall that isn't part of your patrol. Just follow me, do what I do. I would like to use acrobatics, as I was with setting up.
By all means.
That is a natural 20 for 26.
This is, honestly, partially accomplishing what Sabre was initially intending, in that, like, as you are going down, you know where footholds ought to be. You know how stone naturally forms. And basically, as you're starting to recognize the new cracks and fissures, you're getting a feel for directionality. Real world, earthquakes happen because of the shifting of tectonic plates against each other. That is not a localized phenomenon. That's very broad in space. Like, an earthquake happens all of the under you. This is happening from over there-ish. And it's causing these fissures to break in certain ways that you slowly start picking up as you're, like, climbing down these, not necessarily this wall specifically, but structurally familiar settings.
So, Sabri, what do you do on days off besides get told you don't have a day off?
Basically my norm. That's usually what it is.
It doesn't count as in trouble if it's normal.
I'm just very dedicated to my job.
You ever thought about freelancing? That kind of sounds like your job sucks.
Maybe one day. Maybe if we make it out of this. So we're saying it's like coming from, or we're able to kind of see what direction it's coming from, right? Like the.
Yeah, you're getting a feel for, like, it's heading generally a little bit up from where you are and sort of in a north-northwest. One of the things you can piece together immediately looking at it is, like, this is coming from something that is forcing stone aside. It's causing sort of larger shifts in a way that doesn't correspond to digging. Right. Like if you were to dig a hole, you're going to pull stone out. This is pushing the stone out of its way.
There's a geologist in California who's going to be on your fucking mentions.
Geologists, don't start with me.
Now that we have a directionality, I'm going to try to sneak along and I'm going to roll stealth if I can to move us forward. All right. That's going to be 27.
Let's go.
See?
You know how you have to move to be quiet on stone. As you get closer and closer, something you notice is that dragged in clearly from the surface is sand. Something is drawing this behind it, which is a little odd, and it changes how you have to move. There's a moment where you nearly get caught. Not necessarily by anything, like, you just have this internal voice in your head of, like, if I'm quiet enough, nothing can see me. And anytime you, like, fuck up your stealth, it's not necessarily that something saw it, it's that the voice in your head goes, gonna get caught.
Yeah.
You have one of these, like, mini sort of pseudo panic attacks as you plant your foot and it slides a little bit. It's when you recognize that you just stepped on some sort of crystal, and then you look a little bit closer, and the way that the crystal sort of courses through the sand, and you realize you didn't. You stepped on glass.
It's like you, like, step on glass and you, like, pick it up and you're like, what's this? And I'm like, glass.
You also recognize it as glass from the word go, but also if you're walking through sand and you step on, because this is a huge, like, lance of glass.
Yeah.
Austin, that's what really sells it to you, is when it cracked, when she picked it up, it is like a lightning bolt solidified. As if something sent a huge amount of current coursing through the sand, melting it, and creating this... God, there's a name for it. Is it fulgurite? The glass that forms when lightning strikes sand.
Yeah, it's really sick.
At an 18, you know that one of the places on the surface slash prime material, depending on whether the arcanists or the geologists are accurate about how the two planes interact, one of the spots you interact with is a desert. But this sort of lightning, this sort of burrowing effect, screams to you incursion from a blue dragon.
So, Sabri, what do you plan to do when we retire?
That's a very odd change of topic. You also sighed really dramatically, and now I'm really concerned.
Do you like knowing things, or do you like being surprised?
Generally, actually, I am pretty, like, laissez-faire, free-living lifestyle. But seeing as how our job is to find an answer here, if you have one, that'd be nice.
Oh, I have an answer. It's just you want it.
Okay, all right. What is the answer that you have found?
We have a visitor here in our humble abode. A rather massive, if I can tell from this, blue dragon.
Oh, okay. Okay, blue dragon.
Most likely trying to expand its territory, so...
Okay. We should probably go get reinforcements, huh?
I want to look around for this thing.
You can give me whichever you think is going to go better for you. Investigation or... perception, nature, something along those lines. If you have both perception and nature, I'll give you advantage on it.
Can I help?
Yeah, you can. You have advantage on it now. Congratulations. Doesn't matter what skills you had.
Okay. I rolled, the higher one was 19 plus 22.
So part of this comes down to behavior. Like, if generally a blue dragon is using lightning breath, it means it feels threatened. The size of this, you don't know dragons well enough to predict age, but it can't be that large. Just like, you've heard stories of dragons that are two stories tall. This is like maybe a 20-foot sort of lance of glass formed. So something must have come at it. It uses the lightning breath, and then either it killed this thing, in which case it would still be here, or it got the thing to back off and decided this wasn't where it wanted to be. So this gives you two little pieces of information. You can kind of see from the tunnel structure, you could just follow where it has displaced stone. And like there, it's a little hard. There's sand in the way. Obviously, it's sort of filling in behind it. It seems to actually be like an hourglass draining sand from the surface down into these tunnels. But you also feel like you could potentially, if you were lucky, take this thing on your own, given that something in these tunnels made it back off.
What would make it back off in the tunnels?
Well, there's plenty of stuff that wanders around down here. Like I said, touching on the elemental plane Earth, you can get a Zorn every now and then. Those are a pain in the ass. They're weird. They keep eating gems. It's the only, like, they're intelligent. You can bribe them. They just eat diamonds, and that's not something anyone wants to deal with. Grell, which are like... I may be confusing Grell and Grix, but one of them is a snake with tentacles on the front end and a beak in the middle. They're awful. There is plenty of stuff down here that just sort of sucks ass. The Underdark isn't great.
No, it's true. I took the...
You're in the hood now, baby.
You're limiting your list to things with, like, burrow speeds, but even if it got out into the open, could run into a roper real easy. Cloakers sometimes show up.
Cloakers be getting you on 8 mile an hour to drive all the time. Well, we could go get reinforcements, but... if I have inferred your situation correctly, you need a win.
I do.
Is going to get reinforcements a win?
In any other situation, no. But it's a dragon. How badly do you need a win?
No, I'm doing fine. Great, really. I am not concerned about myself and winning or losing. I'm more concerned with... if this thing is down here and already aggressive, a large force showing up can make it worse. We could be able to get it to just leave. I've heard stories of dragons having some sort of intelligence to them, so we could try to just get it to leave and resist bloodshed. But if it comes to it, I mean, I sharpened my swords this morning.
Well, if you are confident, then let's give it a shot.
How good are you with talking to people?
I have my charms.
Good, you take point on the talking. I'll be ready to assist if needed.
Okay.
So, depending on how well you did, I was basically just modulating some of the difficulty on this fight. Two rolls... above a 20, and like a 10 isn't a success, but it's not fucking bad enough to punish. what was it, like a 27 stealth roll? That's going to ride. You're going to get a clean approach. Basically, you are going to come up to a cavern. You can see that this is somewhere where the dragon clearly got lost several times. As I mentioned, like, there's a point where dimensions seem to wrap onto themselves, where this extra planar space slash directly adjacent to the material plane, like, can dig a hole between the two. Really fucks with your sense of distance. And this dragon seems to have dug out of here, got lost, and wound up digging back in through several tunnels. And you can see that they've just sealed shut puddles of sand that were just flowing back through the tunnel by just breathing lightning across them and sealing it with glass. It seems tired. The other thing you're getting out of your multiple 20s here is it does not currently have its breath weapon charged. It has been basically using that to make sure that it isn't buried as it tries to rest. It seems frantic and concerned.
So, are we on it yet? Or we can just tell that we're getting close to it?
You're currently looking at, like, about a 40-foot diameter off-spherical room. Like, there's a clear floor to it, but there's... it's very, very well domed. This thing, because it's had problems with burrowing creatures, is trying to keep itself, like, curled and in the center, and it seems to be trying to, like, just get some rest in. As I said, looks immediately frantic, but is also, like, trying to just, like, I am not getting out of here right now. I need to be here until I can figure out a plan.
I do some, like, obscure, weird hand gesture in Thieves' Cant, not thinking that somebody probably doesn't know Thieves' Cant, and I just, like, slink a different way around this dragon.
Give me just a raw intelligence to see how much of that you pick up.
Oh, okay, not that bad. I got a 7. I thought it was a 1.
Damn.
I mean, yeah, not that bad, but, like, no, you were 100% right the first time. Just, what the fuck?
Yeah.
They pointed, they, like, shifted their hand, they did one of these. Like, you would get that direction makes sense. This? What the fuck are you saying?
Yeah. You can't see me? John Cena's in the Underdark? Like, what the fuck do you want? Yeah, no, I have no clue, but, you know, did say, I didn't even get her fucking name. She did say that I was gonna do the talking, so I'm gonna walk right up to this dragon.
If you have performance, you can roll it. Otherwise, I just want a straight charisma.
I don't have performance. That's a 13. Super duper lucky 13.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it to you.
Hell yeah!
Not high enough for a success. Not high enough to be rewarded, but certainly not low enough to be punished. Woo. You come out, sort of just hands a little wide, just making it clear that you're not, like, going to attack.
Sun's getting real low, big guy.
You see this thing kind of crack an eye like it was trying to sleep, and it just shifted and happened to look. And you... feel, you smell the ozone cascade towards you. You feel the light crackle as your hair just sort of shifts and tries to stand up a little bit. If it hadn't been sealing off these tunnels, you would have been electrocuted.
Fine.
As it sort of gets its bearings and, like, recognizes a little bit more detail to the situation, it shifts and it stands. It's maybe the size of, like, honestly, you don't have a good reference for size because it's like 15, 16 feet tall. Broad as, like, maybe 10 feet wide. Like, this is a huge creature. The closest thing you could do is try to describe it in terms of a horse, but by the time you're using horses as units, like, oh yeah, it's a horse and a half tall. Well, that's not a fucking useful measure anymore. What does a horse and a half look like? Horrendous. Terrible.
It seems like you don't want to be here, so how could I help you leave?
Roll me an insight check.
Not gonna do it. No way in hell.
Ilurax the Indomitable does not arrive in a place it did not intend to reach. I intend to be here. This domain will be taken as part of mine. What you have will be added to my hoard, and if you are lucky, you will be allowed to attend to it.
Austin, I want you to also roll me an insight.
Then that's a flat 14.
Full of shit.
Nice. Nice. Solid. Incredible.
This dragon is clearly, like, trying to cover its ass. Like, just talking any shit that it can, trying to get you to be intimidated, to just establish its place in the pecking order as the dragon in the room. Now, on one hand, that is factually accurate. Can't argue with that. It is the dragon in the room. That is firmly established. However, this dragon is lost and confused and potentially a little scared. Now, 14 isn't that high, so you also don't know if afraid is a good or a bad thing today.
Okay, I would like to use... So here's... So my reasoning, I'd like to use a stealth roll.
Okay.
But I want to be using it to project my voice in a way, knowing my streets, to project my voice in a way in this cavern where I can't tell where I'm speaking from. What do I need for a ventriloquism check?
What we're going to do here is we're going to use one of the rules that they talked about being a rule when they like put 5th edition out and then they never used.
Mm.
You're going to make stealth as a charisma check.
What the fuck does that mean?
So if you're proficient in stealth, you get to add your proficiency to it.
Okay.
But it is a charisma roll.
Oh, okay.
That's why everything in the adventures is always written as like strength brackets, acrobatics, or whichever order goes
in.
Because you're supposed to be able to say, oh, this is an acrobatics check, but it's going off of your strength because you're doing a flip, but you're trying to, like, muscle through it. You're trying to do an intimidation check based on raw fucking size.
You know, the more you learn about this game, I got a nat 24-23.
Oh, fuck off. Yeah, no, yeah.
Dylan, do you see it?
Everywhere.
Listen! Get off my back. It's not my fault I rolled dice nice, okay?
Oh, hey.
Just enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great for telling stories about people who lie about their dice rolls. So, your voice comes from everywhere. You recognize where you are. Like, this, the stone and the fucking glass just create an echo chamber. So, as long as you're sufficiently loud, in a weird turn of events, that's going to mask your position.
Hello, I didn't catch your full name, and I'm not really sure I care. You seem, as my friend said, lost and confused. So I suggest you stop puffing your chest, or if you'd like a faster way out, I can certainly help you.
Highs or lows?
Highs?
I just rolled a d20 just on raw response because you legitimately just called a dragon out for being kind of like for puffing its chest out, for trying to seem bigger than it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
That can go very hard in either direction. D20 rolled a 1. Immediately, Sabre turns its back to you. It just starts trying to find this other voice.
This domain will be mine. I will crush you. I will use your blood to paint a warning to any who come after you.
That means since it turned its head, it's distracted, right? It's not really looking at me.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm gonna attack.
Okay. We're gonna roll for initiative. It's surprised you're gonna get to act.
And rolled a 1.
That's all right. Austin, I just rolled another 1 for the fucking dragon. Dragon's a flat 10, so you have the better dex.
I did indeed get a 20.
Austin, you rolled a 20, so you can act on the surprise round if you want.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sabre, you're acting before the dragon.
I'm going to use my multi-attack. I'm going to make the first of two attacks with my short sword. Okay, that's going to be 26 to hit.
Yeah, 26 hits literally everything.
9 piercing damage, and then 3d6 poison. 9 poison damage, so 18 points of damage. Yay!
You want to make your second swing?
I do. Thank you for reminding me of that I have that. Okay, that's going to be 17 to hit.
17 does not hit. The first swing, basically, while it's not paying attention, it's looking away from you, so you're basically stabbing along the grain of the scales. As it turns and it wrenches your blade out, it looks like it hurts like a son of a bitch. And you try to take that second swing, it just raises up an arm and just your sword skitters off the scales. Once you're not like coming from that angle, these are like stone. Austin, you're up.
I'm gonna try and shoot it with my crossbow.
You've got advantage.
I have advantage.
Well, you did roll a fucking bullshit stealth roll.
Does a 19 hit?
A 19 just hits.
So I have this cute thing where any hit on a surprise creature is a critical.
Yep.
So I'll start with just my crossbow. So it's 12 piercing damage, and I need the dragon to make a constitution saving throw, please.
I can do that. This rolls another one. I'm not playing with you anymore.
Dylan, you get it. You get it. See, before you said you didn't get it, and now you get it.
Yeah.
Now you get it.
Okay, that is, with bonuses, an 18 con.
Okay, so it saves. So instead of taking 48 poison damage, it'll take 24, because it takes half. So far, it's 24 plus 9. I'm not done yet.
Oh, good.
I also get sneak attack damage. Do I double these dice as well?
You do. Every die that is connected to the attack.
An additional 27 more damage.
It's one thing when there's like a really lucky player, and then there's it's another thing when there's a player that sucks all of the luck out of you.
What do you mean? I don't do this on purpose. It's like,
yeah,
why am I? You know, you sit down, you play a drown, suddenly you get all of this hate and harassment.
No. I have this smoke for you on the daily.
You get lucky. Sabre basically pulls the attention of this thing, and you pull the exact same trick she did, where once the head is turned, you fire just along the length of the neck, and you watch this bolt skid off of one of the scales, but that tilt just shoves it directly up in between two more, right at the base of this thing's skull, in a spot where it like cannot reach at it. It drives home, the poison seeps in, and it roars. It roars, and you watch the lightning crackle in its maw. We're going to start the next round. Austin, you rolled a 20 because you're a fucking...
I didn't. I sent you a picture.
I know you didn't. Austin's a wonderful and honest player. You should have them on your shit. So, it's your turn.
Sabra, you're from 5 feet of the dragon, correct?
You've made melee attacks. She must be.
Yep, I have to be.
Incredible. I'm going to shoot another crossbow bolt. I will get sneak attack because an ally is within 5 feet of the dragon and is not incapacitated.
Yep, that's why I played a warrior.
So you don't currently have advantage on it?
No, I don't have advantage.
But you do have your sneak attack.
It was a natural 20 and you said just 19 just hits, so that hits.
So did you just say natural 20?
No, unnatural 20.
Okay, I was going to lose my shit.
No.
No, the 20 does hit, you're good.
I need another constitution saving throw.
On the die of 15, it adds a whole bunch.
Okay, it'll take half again, so let me roll that.
Let this be a lesson to DMs at home. Never let two fucking rogues have a fucking surprise round.
The poison doesn't matter because it's blue, right?
No, blue is lightning, not poison.
Yeah, so it takes, so far I am at 19 damage overall. I gotta roll my sneak attack. Damn, that's a high sneak attack. 19 plus 14.
This is bad. The dragon is starting to truly panic. Liv, it is your turn.
I'm not even going to do the other thing that I was going to do. We're just going to keep attacking it. We're just going to roll. Okay, that definitely didn't hit. No. These didn't hit.
I should also say, at this point, I'm sure it knows where I am.
Yeah, you've been a little less than subtle about that one. I think it started looking around really frantically after the first crossbow. It really got a beat on you when it was looking for you, the second shot came through its face. First things first, this dragon is going to roar. The lightning starts crackling, and then it just shrieks. It's the only word that you can describe it, but it goes so low you feel your bones vibrating. You start to wonder whether it was burrowing that caused the earthquake or just this thing yelling. And I'm going to need both of you to make wisdom saving throws.
I got a flat 15.
I got a 12.
Okay, so this is the dragon's frightful presence. Creatures within 120 that the dragon is aware of succeed with saving throw or become frightened for 1 minute. You can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of your turns, ending the effect on itself and on a success. If you succeed or, you know, you get a save at the end of your turn, you'll get to, you're immune to it for the rest of the day. First things first, we're going to make a bite attack on Liv. Does a 26 hit your AC?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
What? So that's going to be for a total of 20 damage. Then I'm going to need you to make an opposed athletics check.
Opposed athletics.
So I'm going to use one of its multi-attacks as a grapple attempt.
Okay. Nat 20.
Let's go.
Fuck yeah. No, it...
Thank God.
In total, the dragon rolled a 22, but you got your nat 20. It comes, it bites. You feel the teeth sink down into your armor, just barely punching through, so you feel tooth go into skin. And it goes to shift, and the moment it tries to clamp down and really bite, you shift your short sword under its teeth. The only thing that stops it is just you press the flat of the blade back against your chest. You feel your ribs tighten against your lungs. And you manage to slide yourself out of this thing's mouth.
Good job! You're doing great!
Thank you!
You're welcome!
And does a 24 hit your AC?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so this one you're only going to take another 13 points of damage.
Only.
As basically, it tries to pick you up, you shift back, and it just gets angry and backhands you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking real bad in a deeply concerning way.
I will not be defied within my own domain.
This ain't your hood.
This is not your hood.
Okay. Whoever feels the best about it can make me a charisma check.
Austin, you have to.
All right. I've never failed you before, and I won't fail you now. That's a nat 20.
It's your fourth nat 20.
Wheels around to face you, and the moment it does, it shifts back because it's now like fucking hesitant to give you that angle on the scales again. So it's like turning back, trying to keep eyes on back both of you, backing towards a wall.
Yeah.
You've intimidated the dragon a bit.
That's what I fucking thought.
when you see that crack, the mechanical effect I'm going to give to you is this breaks the frightful presence. Because it's very hard to be afraid of something when you realize it is afraid of you.
True.
Talking mad big shit.
Austin, it's your turn.
Now, would you like to take us up on our earlier offer to get assistance to leave because you are clearly lost and confused? Or would you like us to continue killing you? The choice is really up to you. You're a big kid. You can make your own adult decisions. But I think we've made it very clear we don't take kindly to people trying to take what's ours.
It shifts uncomfortably.
The humans led a dwarven expedition that tunneled into my treasury. I also resent invaders.
Then why ain't you got all this smoke for those humans?
Down here talking mad shit.
I start waving my sword at all the glass. You got a lot of lightning breath for the wrong people.
Are you familiar with the gnomish invention black powder?
Yes, actually.
When your home explodes around you, immediate action need be taken. I would be happy to leave. I require somewhere to go. If you can provide me direction into one of their cities, they named a outpost to the north of Baldur's Gate as their home base. If you can direct me to where they might have taken my spoils, then I will take that as your act of fealty.
Austin, you immediately see that this is like the same sort of fucking puff out your chest. I'm gonna make this into like you're paying me to leave.
I will take this as your act of fealty and allow you to stay here.
No, you see, here's how this could work. We will lead you back to the matron mother of our community. She can provide you with directions or instructions in terms of your fealty to her. And perhaps we can discuss these humans and gnomes that have taken your things. We don't take kindly to people taking things. We can work out some arrangement, perhaps, where we can help you get these things back, and we can all go back to our homes. Or, and I load my crossbow, we can take your head as a treasure and go take your things for ourselves.
Roll me an intimidation.
Can I help since I am, you know, also there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just have the tip of my short sword up against this dragon.
Thanks for the help. I don't have any bonus, so that's just a 19.
That is high enough that I'm just going to roll the d20 flat as an 18 on the die.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you exactly what I had planned. If you didn't sufficiently intimidate this thing, it was going to let you lead it back out of a tunnel. And I was going to shoot lightning down the entire length of that tunnel. Definitely yeah. Killing Liv yeah. Immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then with nowhere left to go, I was going to do everything I could to eviscerate you.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you reference the Reverend Mother, images of a congregation, a flock, an army flash through this thing's head. Two of you were sent and found it, and you can see cracks on some of its, like, it's in the haunch, areas where you weren't looking. You were trying to, like, hit the fucking face, go for the head, get this thing dead as quickly as possible. But you can see the singes across the scales, the places where a few scales are cracked down the middle, where clearly something tremendously heavy fell in a presumably collapse of a cave. And you can see spots on the wings where it's been bit and torn at by, again, probably those fucking Grell, which are really good at hit and run tactics in tunnels. And it agrees.
I will negotiate with your reverend mother. And if she can be of use, I can negotiate a price for its intelligence.
I think you should spend maybe a little bit of time thinking about how you will be to use of her.
She's right. I would watch your tongue around her. You think we're bad.
Lead before my mood changes.
Watch your tone, outsider.
Watch your tone, snack.
I like this one.
Not bad. Oh, maybe the best way for me to get out of a bad situation is if I bring it as a pet to the Reverend Mother.
Thank you for joining us for The Drow.
If any of the ideas we've discussed on the show have sparked some of your own, tell us about it on Twitter at KEM Podcast. You'll find me at DJ Malenfant and Aram at Aram Vardian.
For ad-free episodes, early releases, bonus episodes, print-ready maps, our new audio DMs notes, and my character sheets for each encounter, head over to patreon.com/deadghostpro.
Our intro theme and many of the sound effects you hear in the show were created by BattleBards. Check them out at battlebards.com.
This episode was produced by Aram Vartian and Dylan Malenfant. I also did the editing. We were joined by Austin and Liv. You can find Austin at Sailor Scout Austin and Liv at Livin' in a Day. And if you are anything like me and all of that information just fell right out of your head, you'll find everything you need at killeverymonster.com.
And we'll see you next time
for Kill Every Monster.